Now it's time for Jenny Marcroft from the New Zealand First Party.
I actually spoke with Fletcher Tabito today just to get an idea of how it all works now that Winston Peters is in the acting Prime Minister's seat. Fletcher is Deputy Leader of the New Zealand First Party and is also Parliament Undersecretary to the portfolios of Disarmament and Arms Control, Foreign Affairs and Regional Economic Development. And we may be hearing from him over the next few weeks. I wanted just to know how it is going to work now with Winston Peters as acting Prime Minister, basically.
Yep. Okay, so unfortunately for everyone out in radio land, it's really boring and really straightforward because all he does is carry on with the job of kind of running cabinet and being the face of government, really. So we have a senior cabinet that's kind of like the top 20 ministers who get together every week and, you know, debate the big issues, the big pieces of legislation. Winston will obviously be in charge of that, but it's a big collective process, and I'm sure you've heard already that Jacinda's in reasonably kind of day-to-day contact with Winston. So it's very much a man at the helm, but a big team with Cabinet especially, but all the other ministers, all the other Labor, New Zealand First and Green MPs as well.
And the Prime Minister's or Jacinda's roles have been delegated to other people? Or will Winston be taking on those?
So Vulnerable Children, I think Tracy Martin and one of the other Labor MPs, forgive me, I can't remember who, they're picking up the ministerial workload. Arts and Culture will be not Jenny Salisa. Well, Jenny Salisa will help out. Carmel Cipollone, so she's the associate there. So, yeah, the Prime Minister's ministerial roles have been delegated down to people who are already associates in those areas.
And then Winston's roles will be also delegated?
No, he carries on with his ministerial portfolio, so he's still the Minister of Foreign Affairs, but I'm his Under-Secretary, which is kind of like an Associate Minister, just kind of one step below that. And so he and I work together quite closely in Foreign Affairs anyway, so we just carry on carrying on. In terms of timing internationally, there's not really any big events that the minister or the prime minister has to attend. So actually in terms of timing on the international calendar, it's been quite good actually.
Right. So, but surely, I mean, he'll have other things that he has to do as acting prime minister. Does this mean that your role gets busier?
Probably only in the foreign affairs space, and only slightly, to be honest. So what people may not realise is the Prime Minister, think back in history, you know, John Key, Bill English, Jacinda Ardern, they all have the Prime Minister's office, and there's some really smart people and a team of people there making sure that the operations of the Prime Minister are functioning as they should, and things are, going smoothly. And so there's a whole team of really good, hard-working, smart people in the background making sure that the jobs get done. So when the Prime Minister makes a decision, they've got all the facts, got all the knowledge, and can engage with people quite quickly and quite smartly. So Winston now has that office working for him in his role as the acting Prime Minister or the Prime Minister. And so it just makes the days a lot longer, really. They're already long when you're the Deputy Prime Minister and the Foreign Minister. They're such big roles. But really and truly, it's just longer days and a lot more people making sure that the work gets done.
That does seem fairly straightforward.
Yeah.
Thank you for explaining that. I suppose while I've got you and your foreign affairs, given the announcement this morning regarding Trump's Muslim ban or the travel ban being upheld by the Supreme Court, does New Zealand have a position on this yet?
Well, I don't think we have an official position, but my recollection from the first time we spoke about it was when he first attempted it, was it was a really unfortunate sequence of countries that he picked, and it did look like a Muslim ban. My recollection of it is he had kind of enforced what had already been done by the US in the past. But I wouldn't want to speak out of turn because, to be honest, I haven't seen the article this morning, sorry.
Okay. Yeah. But would that be something that New Zealand has to, that, you know, New Zealand has to respond to and take a position on?
Well, if it is a Muslim ban, then you would say that was inappropriate. But look, yeah, a lot of these things, the media reports it one way while the reality is something else. So I daren't debate on radio the details of something that I don't know yet.
So that was Fletcher Tabito. I just wanted to make a note on that with some more information about the ban, which was announced in September 2017 and is widely criticised by human rights and refugee advocacy groups. It's a ban that stops most people from Iran, Libya, Somalia, Syria and Yemen from entering the US, and these are all majority Muslim countries. Many people have challenged the policy, arguing that the motivation comes from Trump's enmity towards Muslims. Lower courts throughout the country had previously blocked the ban, but in December 2017, the High Court allowed it to go fully into effect while that legal challenge continued in higher courts. And this is the decision that's come out now. So the ban apparently allows for waivers on a case-by-case basis, but applicants who cannot afford an attorney to go through that waiver process will likely be unable to immigrate to the US. Is what immigration advocates are saying. And Justice Stephen Breyer noted in his dissenting opinion on the decision, announced this morning that the State Department reported that only two waivers were approved out of 6,555 applicants during the first month of the travel ban. So in regards to the decision, this morning the five court justices said they took the president's order on its face and separated it from his more bombastic anti-Muslim comments made on the presidential campaign trail and via Twitter.
We've been speaking with Jenny Marcroft from the New Zealand First Party.
The Wire.